The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome back to our second episode of the year. Is this number two of the year? I've lost count already. But
sure.
The theme of this episode, right off the hop, the shootout. Is it warranted? Hell no. And look, I'm not going to bring this up just because the Leafs lost in the shootout against the Calgary Flames. But this has been very widespread thing around hockey, ever since the shootout was brought into existence, except the first year. I get the purpose, I understand why they do it, but the game loses all mojo when it goes to a shootout.
It also decides, like, legitimate positions in the playoffs. Like, I think Calgary's horrible. Like, they suck. The only reason they won today is because their goalie, who should have allowed 10 goals tonight, played unbelievable. They're an awful team. They're first in their division. Have you seen, did you hear the stats on Riddick? Like, he's allowed 2 goals on like 25 shots or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And right now Calgary leads the Pacific Division with a -9 goal differential.
Yeah, they're brutal.
The Coyotes, who I think will eventually win that division because they play They are at a 14-goal differential. The problem is that right now they're in a little bit of a rut. And that's what it is. As soon as Calgary brought in Jeff Ward, or when Bill Peters went away, they went on a run. And that just changed when you go on a run, and we've seen that with the Leafs, because the Leafs were they weren't in a playoff spot. They go on a run, and now they're in third in the Atlantic. And so the whole playoff positioning right now is about runs, and it seems like whichever team gets hot at the right time and can stay hot will end in a playoff spot. So, thoughts on the game? I thought, Jake, you're right. Riddich absolutely stole the show. I think the Leafs could have easily won that game at least 4-5-1.
Yeah, but like, I look at their team, there's not one guy that scares me.
Only one is Matthew Tkachuk.
No, I mean, the only one would be Gaudreau, but he's played horrible.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, if you're worried about him,
Tkachuk is is not a guy that on the ice with you need them to, you're up a goal, you're not like, oh my God, it's Matthew Tkachuk. I don't think he's got a great shot. I mean, he's a good player, don't get me wrong. I think he's a, like, his career high was probably be next year or last year where he had like 70 points. I don't see him ever breaking in the 80 plus territory.
Okay, so and that's the other thing too. I don't know if you have listened to 31 Thoughts or the latest one, and there seems to be this growing feeling that Johnny Gaudreau, if let's say the Flames don't make it or don't do anything this year, he's out the door. Which I find it really funny because I think he hasn't been good this year, but the rest of the team has not been up to snuff. Let's be honest here.
I think the biggest issue with Calgary is they have this overinflated sense of how good they are. I just don't think they're good. Like, they think they're contenders, and they're not even close. For me, they're just going to be on that treadmill of mediocrity where they're never going to compete for anything, but they're never going to be bad enough to get hot. They just don't have good enough players. Like, I don't consider any legitimate all-stars on their team. And so, outside of maybe Gaudreau and,
yeah,
I don't know, Giordano's like 40, so he's probably – he looked awful today, so.
Yeah, he's go ahead, Austin.
Like, to me, they're one of those teams that's like – they're in the middle of the pack, but they're always in the playoffs, so they're always going to be making moves at the deadline to try and push for that.
You know who they remind me of? They remind me of the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, no, like, they're stuck in that sort of purgatory where they're not quite making it to, like, the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals, but they're still one of those teams that's going to push to acquire more talent, but then they lose draft picks, so they're never restocking with new talent.
Yeah, and the thing about, and Jake, you're right with the Gaudreau thing. He had 99 points last year, 84 the year before. Like, he has been carrying that team offensively. And I think last year was a wake-up call because many thought that the Flames were the best chance for a Canadian team to win a cup. And they got ousted in the first round.
Idiotic. I had Colorado winning that series the whole way. I think I picked them in six. And they won in five, right?
They lost in the first round 2 years in a row now. Was it Anaheim bounced them and then...
And they lost 2 years ago. Lost in four.
No, you're right, because Anaheim bounced them because then Anaheim went and played... I believe that was the year they played Edmonton.
And then, yeah, they lost to Colorado in, what, five or six?
Five. I believe it was five because they won the first game. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was five. It was really, really disappointing. The coaching change isn't going to do much because look, Monahan. I don't think like people say he's been good. He hasn't been good enough for what he what they put into.
He's also a number. He's a number two center. So yeah. I mean, they are putting him in a number one role, and he's just not good enough.
Yeah.
Like he's a really good second line center. He kind of reminds me of like a poor man's Ryan O'Reilly. I think Ryan O'Reilly's like infinitely better on the defensive end, but they're maybe somewhat similar on the offensive end. They're like 75 point guys. But the difference with St. Louis is they had multiple centers who could go deep. Like they had they didn't have Stastny, no. They had Brayden Schenn. They had
Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly. Bozak. And who's the third center they have?
Tyler Bozak.
Tyler Bozak. Yeah.
Bozy.
Who's a good third line?
Really
center.
Good players that were centers in Calgary. I don't even know who their second line center is.
Backlund.
And he's been horrible this year, hasn't he?
It's like some form of Monahan Backlund, and usually is it Jankowski or Derek Ryan.
I think Derek Ryan has overtaken Jankowski. Jankowski's barely been playing.
He's a fourth line guy now.
So yeah, no, I think that's right. I think the teams that there's two types of teams really. There's teams who have really good, that 1A center, but then below them it's not up to snuff. There's a lot of teams like that, or there's teams like St. Louis that have a lot of centers. And then they kind of insulate with talent all around on the wings. Like St. Louis, the reason why, Jake, you're right, is it works because you've got guys like Tarasenko, Perron, Schwartz. Like they have guys that can fill in those, around those centers. So I think you're definitely right. And I think we talk a lot about the Leafs and their defense and they don't have the depth and the talent. But then you look at their forwards, like... How many teams would take one or two of the guys? Like, how many of those guys, even below the top six, would teams take on their team right now? There are a lot of guys in the Leafs bottom six that are performing and that are producing. I mean, Pierre Engvall is the first one that comes to mind. I think Kapanen.
They're also missing a ton. They're missing a ton of guys. Like, Mikheyev, they're missing. Trevor Moore, they're missing. I said Mikheyev. Why do I feel like we're missing someone else? It's because Janssen's back, and I never notice him.
And
I did notice
Brooks
him
in the lineup.
You know,
not Adam Brooks.
Marchment. Adam Brooks.
Well, I'm giving Andreas Janssen, like, today was probably his most noticeable game, but I mean he's coming back from almost a month off. I'm gonna give the guy a little bit of leeway to pick things up, but yeah, I think there's the injuries really do play a factor, because guys have had to step up, guys have had to move around, and okay, we'll get into the injuries right now, because as bad as the injuries were up front, we know the ones on the back end are even worse. Like, not even losing Morgan Riley, but on top of having Jake Muzzin already out, good thing is he started skating this week, but you're missing two of your top defensemen on the left side. It's not even like a balance thing where you have a left-handed guy and a right-handed guy out. It's your top four left-handed defensemen.
The Leafs are in that, how the tables have turned. And now they have no good lefty defensemen.
Yeah, how many years we need right-handed defensemen? And we go with, like, Ron Hainsey, Zaitsev, and, like, Polak and whatever you can put together. And now it's just, like, our left shot defense is Dermott, Sandin, and Marincin. And now that's a problem. It is a problem. It's also an opportunity because there's guys on the team that haven't really looked great, in my opinion. I think
every game is a tryout.
I mean, the biggest one, obviously, has been Tyson Barrie. Because
they didn't get that reference.
No.
I'm sad.
Right over my head.
That was the old Burke era Marley's
mantra.
Yes. Every game is a tryout.
Wasn't that like a promo video for the Marlies? Like,
yep. That's when he was burying Naz in the AHL because he was too fat.
I think every time we went to a Marlies game, they had that, like, they had a promo video.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, continue.
But it's very true, though, because right now there's guys who are auditioning. Tyson Barrie is trying to audition for a new contract. Travis Dermott needs to get a new contract. Rasmus Sandin's trying to prove where he is in his development. Apparently, Martin Marincin doesn't need to do much to get a 1-year.
I thought Marincin played fine today.
He
was not bad. Martin Marincin.
I think the only bad play he had was he fanned on that one timer. But, like, why are you feeding Marincin for a one timer?
I mean, he is what he is. He's like a seventh, eighth defenseman who makes fucking nothing. I think people kind of give him way too much stick because I don't know what. I don't necessarily like him, but people are acting like you can just pick up eighth defensemen that are better. And it's like, no, they just have different names. They're the same people.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, people say, you can just get anyone from the Marlies. Again, we have seen time and time again, you pick one guy from the AHL. Look, Marincin was a stud in the AHL. Like, and you bring him up to the NHL, it's like, it's different.
He's just one of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, you could go with a lot worse because we've seen it, i.e. Brett Lebda. Do I need to go down that list like the last time we recorded?
Ryan O'Byrne.
Oh, my God. Ryan O'Byrne. Who's the guy that was signed?
Brett Lebda's the
Jeff
best one.
Finger?
Mike Koska?
Are we bringing up this conversation that we started last podcast?
I'm just...
No.
We're
just thinking of all the shitty 7th, 8th defensemen that we used
we're
to
We're
have.
Just bringing up the fact that I think...
Jake Zeroff with that shit last time after we were done.
I think we need to temper expectation when it comes to our 7th defenseman. I agree. I think if you're looking for found money with every single guy on the roster, you don't think a bunch of NHL teams aren't trying to figure out other ways to add defensemen easily?
It's the impossible thing. Teams never have enough defensemen. It's like...
No.
Yeah.
Unless you're like the Nashville Predators.
You never have enough shooters in the NFL, never enough corners, never enough pass rushers. It's a thing that you just...
Linemen. Linemen.
Linemen, wide receivers, fucking quarterbacks, everything.
There's only so much... Like, there's a lot of players, but there's only so much talent to a certain level you're going to find out there. And teams also have a really hard time finding talent because some don't know how to scout properly. Which brings me to this question. Did Kyle Dubas go the wrong route with Tyson Barrie? With what he traded Nazem Kadri for?
Probably. I would have preferred if they had gotten like someone on more term than one, but I mean, he hasn't really
for cheap.
Yeah, I also like. I mean, he was in a situation where he had to get rid of him. I mean, I hate saying get rid of him,
but they had to move on. From
I mean,
Kadri.
He
that is that
move
is...
on, and I mean, you can't blame him. On the outside looking in, it was like, oh wow, they got
a right
Tyson Berry
defenseman
who can score 50 points.
Put him with Jake Muzzin.
I mean,
he
just
perfect.
I don't know. He looks either really flawed because he's in this market where we just look at everything, or he just doesn't seem comfortable either. I actually think he's probably the only one of the few beneficiaries of this injury to Riley, because he's used to being the main man and now he is the main man.
I think I'll let you get to it a second too, Austin, is that Tyson Berry was used to being the Morgan Riley of a team, which was getting a little more offensive opportunity. Sure, you're going to have to play some, you know, big defensive minutes too, but you're going to also get your offensive time to produce. And that's why he's been able to produce on the power play, offensive zone draws, playing with the top guys, offensive guys. And then when he got here, Mike Babcock's like, I'm going to put you with the guy that mostly plays in our top defensive situations and Jake Muzzin. And we knew that didn't work. And then Sheldon Keefe came and was like, well, we're going to put you with Morgan Riley, who we have now found out has been not only dealing with some sort of ailment before the broken foot, but he's also hasn't been at his best defensively. So what does he do now? He splits them up. I mean, now he has no choice but to play Barry. I think he's playing him with Dermott right now. Is that the pairing?
Yeah, that's top pairing.
So right now, Tyson Berry has a really good opportunity to basically tell us, I'm like, this is the type of player I can be. Otherwise, I mean, I don't really, like, you're not moving him at the deadline. Like, you're not in a position to move him. Like, I'm hearing people say, oh, maybe they should consider moving him. I'm like, why?
For who?
Like, for who and for what?
What are you going to get that's going to improve your team? You're going to need another defenseman to play.
You need an asset to play in the playoffs. So who the hell's giving you that for Tyson Berry?
And the only thing is, I'm going to say, don't even think that Timothy Liljegren is just going to step in for Tyson Berry. Because that's another thing I've
heard. That's my favorite thing in the world. Is like, I want to see Timothy Liljegren play more than anyone, but come on.
This is not the situation you put Timothy Liljegren to play.
No, this is barely the situation you put Rasmus Sandin in. You just don't have another choice.
Yeah, like, I think people need to, like, there's people who are clamoring for Liljegren. Oh, he's been getting sent up and down all the time. It's not good for him. It's like, I don't think he minds getting some games off.
He makes $925K a year, and it's a fucking Uber ride from Rico. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, it's not like that is also true. It's like you're going to either play, like, I don't know. I think that people, because as soon as the All-Star break happens, he's back down with the Marlies. He's going to play with the Marlies during that week. Like,
everyone's up in arms because Liljegren's been jumping up in the play more with the Marlies, and he looks more offensively inclined.
Yes.
And like the guy the Leafs thought they were getting. Not even thought they were getting. I'm selling him short there. The Leafs fans saw when we drafted him and thought he was a steal, which he still is.
I mean, if he can turn into a top four defenseman, that is a steal. I think he could
just be a solid top six, even at 17th overall. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think I'd use the word steal, but
no.
He'll
not
be worthy
until he proves himself. I'm saying at the time he was supposed to go top five and we got him at 17. So
yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah. But yeah, the hype is around. He's been stepping up and scoring a lot of goals, and over his career with the Marlies, as of up to now, he hasn't really been a big point producer.
Yeah.
He's been good. He just, the points and goals and assists haven't been there.
But we also know that offensively, that's not the least issue. The offense is not the issue. It's, do we have guys that when it matters, can we get guys that can step up defensively? And that, look, I've heard the concept, oh, team defense, the team hasn't been good enough defensively as a group. Fair. But you also need defensemen that can, you know, when the time comes, they can, you know, lean in on guys in front of the net. They can separate guys off the puck and press a little more defensively. Haven't really seen that, which brings me to my next point, the trade deadline. There's been a lot of names being thrown around, and not great names. Like, you're not getting a Jake Muzzin like last year. I'm just going to throw that out there, people. I don't see a Jake Muzzin out there that the Leafs can trade for. Unless you guys know someone that the Leafs can trade for. And also keep in mind that the salary cap is still a thing.
I just don't know who's a seller yet. Like, there's very few sellers.
I think the Kings are going to be sellers because they got Toffoli.
I mean, like, what do you want, Alec Martinez? Like,
that's a name that's been thrown around. But again, he has term, which means the Kings are like, well, we gave up Muzzin for this and this. This is what we're going to want similar for Martinez, which, I mean, I'm not, if the Leafs, you've already given up your first round pick this year in a draft that's really good. Don't think you can justify doing it again for next year. So that's out the table. Who else? I mean, like, Detroit has nothing to sell. The Devils.
They really don't.
The Devils, people are like, oh, and we're going to get to Detroit in a second, by the way.
Oh, no.
Like, the Devils, they say, oh, maybe Vatanen. I'm like, but Vatanen's not what the Leafs need.
No.
At that point, if you're going for Vatanen, I just bring up Liljegren. Like,
and Vatanen is what the Devils need. They don't have any fucking good defensemen.
Vatanen's a 5'10 offensive defenseman. Like,
So Anaheim apparently is going to be one of those teams that you can dump salary on if you want to, because they have LTIR room.
Take a nice Cody Ceci and break both his legs and put him on LTIR.
I think like if the Leafs are going to try to finesse with the cap, they'll need a team. Like, they can do like a three team trade where Anaheim could take on that salary. That's a potential. But like San Jose, they're selling Brandon Dillon. Like,
I'd take Brandon Dillon.
Brandon Dillon, sure.
No way.
As like a seventh defenseman. Man. Like,
what team is he on now?
San Jose.
He's still there? Yeah. No way. They traded him.
No.
Though they're planning to trade him.
He's the guy that hit Matthews high and they didn't
get him. Yeah, I know. He's I don't know. I thought he was on Dallas.
Nope. He's on San Jose still.
How much is he worth?
How much is he worth, like, cap wise?
Yeah, yeah. No,
I think
how much does he make?
Enough fantasy stats to know about that. Yeah. How much though, Dave?
I think he's about three and a half. Oh,
okay.
I'm gonna double check that figure.
He's a lefty though.
He's a lefty. So it's like,
but he's not Martin Marincin or Cody Ceci.
So when I heard, so the thing is, so he's 3.27 cap million. So the thing is, I think the reason why Freeman brought the name is I think the Leafs are still not comfortable with having Rasmus Sandin up here the rest of the year. So you bring in a Brandon Dillon that can provide depth, but it's like, are they playing him over Travis Dermott? I don't see where he's fitting on that left side. I think we're all in agreement that the best thing would be to try to get a right-hand defenseman that's better than Cody Ceci for. No.
Cody Ceci.
But like, there's no right-hand defense. Like, somebody brought up I saw the name. I wrote in my article Dylan DeMel because I saw that name out there.
Fuck no.
Like, again, he's a probably one of Ottawa's better defensemen, but Ottawa's also not very good. I don't know where. And I think, Jake, you're right. There's teams like Montreal. They're not going to be sellers because they're.
I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs either.
Minnesota.
They're one of those. They're the Minnesota of the East, though. They're going to keep. Mark Bergevin's going to acquire 18 fourth liners this deadline, like he did a couple of years ago.
Minnesota's not selling
Nate
either.
Nate Thompson. Yeah. Kyle Clifford.
Where's Kyle Clifford. King. Where's he at? Dwight King.
Yeah, Dwight King.
No way that dude's still in the NHL.
No, I don't think so.
He's probably in like England or something.
Like, I don't.
Speaking of that, I saw I saw a poll on the biggest draft bust in the last 20 years. It was fucking hilarious. It had like Neil Yakupov, like Griffin Reinhardt. I'm trying to think of another guy in the list. Alexander. Patrick Stefan, and then the fourth one was Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
Oh my goodness!
Dude's in year two of his fucking career.
That was so fucking funny.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah,
I think we've talked about how Montreal's semi ruined him.
Yeah.
I mean, they shouldn't have fucking taken him. I don't know. I still don't know why they did that.
They also shouldn't have brought him over immediately.
They should have left him
like,
in Finland.
He was like 105 pounds.
Yeah. He needed to bulk up, and he also needed another year in Liga at least. Anyhow.
Well, so this is the thing. Jake's right. There's not many sellers that have
something
to
want. Go get
Tim Heed,
my boy.
So... That is the issue. And it's funny because we talked about the worst team in the league, and that is Detroit. Jake, you have some interesting things to say about the Red Wings and their...
Mike Green!
And the fabulous job they are doing at not winning this season.
Oh my god. It is impressive. I was like looking at the stats to see where the Leafs were after the game, and I was just like... I was scrolling all the way down because I wanted to see where Calgary was, and I scrolled past Detroit, and I'm like, holy shit, they have 27 points in 47 games.
Well, you couldn't scroll past Detroit because there's nowhere left to scroll in those standings.
Exactly. I was like, what? They're on pace for got to be like similar points to Buffalo when they got Eichel that year. They had to have like 48 points, or I'm thinking of also Colorado when they had like 49 points. They have 12 wins.
That was an all-time terrible team, that Colorado team.
They have wins. They have 12 wins in 47 games. They win 25% of the time.
That was the Colorado squad that was boasting about Carl Soderberg having 14 points on the year during the offseason.
So Buffalo finished.
They also have a negative 81 goal differential. I don't think I've ever seen anything ever close.
I have to look it up. Worst goal differential in NHL history.
It's like the Caps when they won like three games all season, but holy smokes, man.
you're so right. The worst one was the Capitals, and when it was like one of their early years too. I think, hold on, let me look it up here. So apparently the lowest goal differential, Jake, you want to take a guess?
It's probably that Caps team, like negative 180 or something.
So the 1974-75 Capitals were a minus 265.
Yeah, that's fucking unbelievable.
The year, dude. 2 years later, the Montreal Canadiens set the league record for goal differential at plus 216.
265? That's getting outscored like three goals a game.
That's pretty much it. Holy smokes. I've never seen that before. That's
neither have I.
Shocking. I'm speechless after that. It's a good thing to know that I think the Panthers like recently had a minus 59 goal differential before.
Nothing even close. Nothing
like the Red Wings right now are on in unprecedented territory. I'm thinking like the Senators from 2 years ago weren't even that bad. Let's see, the Coyotes, were they ever that bad? They were. Coyotes were the most recent. I think their goal differential in 2014-15 was a minus 102.
That's fucking mad.
Buffalo in that 2014-15 season were a minus 113. Let's see. And then the Colorado Avalanche, that year that they went with 56 losses, they had a minus goal differential of minus 112.
That's a lot.
So give the Red Wings credit. They're not as bad as those teams were, but we still have a lot of the season left to go.
Pretty close.
They're getting there. They're on track. The tank is on track. And the common denominator in all of that, and we all know what these teams are, what the Red Wings are tanking for, and that is Alexis Lafreniere, the guy who absolutely killed the World Juniors. I mean, if there was a guy I was going to tank for, probably be that guy. But he's not going to people in the Atlantic Division. I know the possibility left for Nier being in your division would be scary, but it is the Red Wings. He's not going to make up for a minus 80 goal differential. Just going to throw
aren't
that there out there.
Like, aren't there like four really good players? Like it's Byfield, him.
Drysdale, there's, I think, is up there.
The German kid, what's his name? What's the German kid's name?
Tim Stützle.
That's it, Stützle, yeah.
This is so those are bread and butter right here.
Also, Alexander Holtz, Lucas Raymond, Anton Lundell.
So, I mean, Stevie Wise probably like, all right, we want to get the opportunity to get one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're he's setting his team, the Red Wings, out for the best chance at the 1-2-3.
Like, if he loses, like, the worst-case scenario for Detroit, he still ends up with, I mean, probably one of Holtz or Raymond.
Yeah,
I think he would
incredible.
Well, they should take the Germans, so they'd have two of the best Germans. They'd have what's the guy Sider? They drafted Sider. Last year? Sider. Mo Sider, yeah.
There's also that. I mean, he's not going to go up.
Then
in
maybe
that range.
Then maybe they could lure Dreisaitl. I'm kidding.
Yeah. So then they'll have the Russian bunch from the old Red Wings, and then they'll have the German bunch.
That would be pretty cool.
Lucas Raymond's another guy that's gone up a lot of lists, huh, Austin? After that.
He's a stud. So basically, I don't want to go into too much draft stuff because I'm working on something, but Holtz is basically the shooter of the two Swedes. They've sort of grown up together in junior through the ranks. Raymond's sort of the skill. Not Holtz isn't just the pure shooter. He's very skilled as well, but Raymond's sort of the guy that can walk through a defense.
Yeah.
So, he's the playmaker.
So what we're saying is that, and I think there was a clip of Pierre Dorion saying that this draft is one of the best in recent years, like in terms of how many guys are available. And Otto, I think, has what, two picks in the first?
Yeah, round? They got San Jose's. I'm hoping they just miss because that would be pretty bad if they got two top five picks. That would be ugly.
Yes.
If they have two picks even in the top 10, they're going to be a problem.
I think
they have a very skilled top 10.
I think San Jose would be really hilarious, and this is the next
thing
I was going to talk about.
Why didn't they protect that? That's my question.
I think they advanced to the second round the year before, like last year. They probably thought we're not going to have
still,
a pick.
Still, like,
I know. The Leafs at least, the Leafs at least
really
did
have
it.
Said no, if they were like, yeah, we're going to have to protect it.
No,
yeah, I don't think Ottawa would have said no. They want they had to move Carlson.
Ottawa was desperate to make deals, so they wouldn't have said no.
Yeah,
but Doug Wilson's got his big swinging extremities, so.
To move off from the draft, because there's been a lot of craziness going on this week, I think right now the San Jose Sharks, their next move, and this would set the NHL on fire, hire Gerard Gallant. You're the Vegas Golden Knights, for some reason, fire Gerard Gallant and proceeded to hire Pete DeBoer. And we all know the history between the Golden Knights and the Sharks from that playoff round. So what better way than to hire the guy who was fired from Vegas and who is known to take teams that don't exactly have the greatest talent and at least elevate them a bit? If you're San Jose, you need something. I don't know. I would try consider that if I was them. Although Gallant may be like, I've been fired twice. I don't think I want to get it done a third time in a recent span.
I just think it's hilarious that Vegas hired a guy not 12 months after the guy they fired called him a clown on TV.
Yeah, that was great. That was great TV. But, like, right now Vegas is at 56 points. They're a point because they won tonight. They clobbered Ottawa. Shocking. But they are 1 point out of top place in the Pacific. And they make a coaching. And now we've seen coaching changes mid-season. We have seen contending teams make coaching changes. Got like the Leafs made a coaching change, but I think the situation was a little bit different. The Leafs were playing really bad. I think Vegas has had like a couple of bad games, and then the GM's like, "Yeah, I just had this feeling. I'm just gonna fire my coach." Must be nice to have a job as a GM in the NHL, huh, Jake? Just to fire someone with a feeling? I don't get that.
It's just incredible.
So
how they just pass them around like it's candy or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of that where guys are just flip flopping between that organizations.
That was a lot of the talk today. It was like teams recycling the same 31 head coaches, and it's like, yeah. I mean, the Leafs didn't, but the last two hires have been coaches that were fired earlier this season.
Yeah, I'm surprised about the John Hines in Nashville.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. The guy was fired like 2 weeks ago, and you hired him immediately.
They are currently now. By the way, the Nashville Predators are currently losing 4-2. It was 4-1. It is 4-2 to the Anaheim Ducks.
John Hines isn't a good coach.
Also, they have UC Saros, who is not a very good goalie. We're finding that out pretty hard too. One team I wanted to bring up before we go into the next bit of craziness, the Columbus Blue Jackets. That is a team that has surprised me this year.
Trade for Zach Werenski, take a third in Jeremy Bracco.
They just lost Jonas Korpisalo to a ridiculous, like, that torch rant was almost worth it for all that stuff to go down, but
that was bad.
Elvis Merzlikins, is that how you say it?
Merzlikins,
I'm butchering that name. Just
Elvis
won.
Is the man that nearly knocked Canada with Latvia in the
was he really?
Sochi Olympics. I believe that was him.
I thought it was wrong. The guy on Tampa. That was on
that
Tampa.
That is him. He is was Syracuse's it? Goalie.
So he just won his third straight game. Let me break down the last, the last stretch since that Chicago game. Beat Florida, beat Boston, lose to San Jose, beat LA, beat Anaheim, lose to San Jose again. Ouch. Beat Vegas, beat Boston, beat Carolina, who is just above them in the standings. What a stretch of games. I think you're wrong. I think it's like a different...
That's heartbreaking.
But like Columbus... They're a team I can get behind to get into the playoffs. Any comments on the...
No, Columbus, they suck. Stop it.
Jake's just like, put them away in a drawer. Don't even bring them
they're
up.
They're coached by Torts and they don't have
I'm just very surprised at what they've been able to do with the lack of talent. Like, they have Seth Jones.
Yeah.
They have Werenski. They have Dubois. So they're not, totally gutted, but they're not the team they had last year.
The two biggest free agents, I'd say, this past summer were from the Blue Jackets. So, and they've lost a lot of skill and still done well.
And both of them have not exactly lived up to, I think, the expectations. Bobrovsky, that contract was just stupid regardless. I don't know any goalie, and I think he's like almost 30, worth $10.5 million. Like, teams need to stop doing that. I know you need goaltending, but chill a little bit. And he wasn't very good last year. I don't like he doesn't get better with age. Goalies generally don't get better with age. So, I mean, I hope Florida doesn't make the playoffs, because if you're a Leafs fan, you don't want to see Florida again.
What? Why?
That was just such a weird game.
What? They didn't get a single save the whole game.
Is that what you
chose? Florida's terrible.
Well, right now, they're out of the playoffs. But that wild card, it's 56, 56, 56, and 55 points that separate those four teams. And the Rangers somehow are still in it, Jake.
Oh, I know. The Rangers are pretty good. I mean, the only reason they're there is because Panarin is unfucking believable.
Yeah.
Like, if they make the playoffs, he should win the MVP, no doubt about
it. Oh, I know who it was. It's Christer's Gudalevskis.
Guzlevskis or something like that.
Yeah, that was the goalie from Latvia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who we were trying to figure out, Jake, for the long
time. Yeah, against Latvia. Canada.
Jake. I have Panarin on my fantasy team. That's usually how I know a guy is good. Although
his last 10 games, he's basically averaging 3.5 points a game.
He has 67 points this year.
Yeah,
he was
unbelievable.
Remember when people were just like, I don't know if he's worth the what he got paid.
He's one, he got in free agency, and two, he's unbelievable.
Like, you know how, and Jake, you know how hard it is to perform in that New York market, especially the Rangers. Yeah. He is, like, where is he on the list? He is right behind Draisaitl and McDavid.
Yeah, those are the only people ahead of him.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we remember when we made that comment in the offseason that maybe the Leafs should trade Marner and just go after Panarin?
Yeah, I mean, look bad now. Panarin can score.
Oh, man, he is electric. It's like not just the scoring. He has 26 goals, but it's the assists. Like he's making guys like Ryan Strome. I don't think he's playing with Ryan Strome right now. I think it's Zibanejad right now. But like, Zibanejad looks good with them. I think it's
Zibanejad's really good.
I do like Zibanejad. He was miscast.
The Rangers have like some sneaky good players.
Oh, they do. It's just their defense is still a work in progress, in my opinion.
Well, they got a lot of prospects and picks, and they'll be fine. It's probably not their year this year, but they get a lot. They're gonna have money coming off the books. I mean, that's a team. Speaking about like Petrangelo and stuff like that, you can never count out New York for any free agent.
You can't. People love playing in New York.
I think it's the best rink in the league.
I mean, I've never been there. I had a chance to go there because Jake's just like, yo, David, come watch the Rangers game. I got a ticket. Yeah, Jake, yeah. I'll just pony up the $600 it'll take me to get there.
Hell drive. It costs $80 in gas.
I know. It takes about, what, 8-9 hours?
7 hours?
Depending on...
You go on the 12-hour VIA train.
Oh, God, no. I'd never do that train ride.
Yeah, or just take a nap on the train, wake up, and you're there.
Yeah, exactly. You're good.
Yeah, and I think right now, all of the Leafs fans care about when it comes to the Rangers is, when the hell are they trading Georgiev to the Leafs?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
I think that's...
It looks like Shestorkin is legit.
He's staying. He's not being moved.
No, he's legit. And, I mean, they legitimately are going to get something pretty good for him. I think they'll get... If I were them, I would ask for a minimum of 2 and maybe a player. I think that's realistic.
What would you do anything if you're the Leafs to get it?
What?
If you're the Leafs, what are you asking if you're the Rangers? Because people keep saying Brocco, and I said that's not happening, people. Get that pipe dream out of your head.
If I'm the Rangers, I'm asking for Kapanen.
Yeah, I can see that.
I would never do that if I'm the Leafs. I just think he's too valuable as a penalty killer, and he's a really good player. People act like he's had a terrible year. He's like 5th in points.
Did you not see that play he made to Engvall? I think
he's great. He's a really good player.
I would trade Johnsson in a heartbeat.
People are just okay with giving him up to like for defensive players, rentals, fucking backup goalies.
He was the centerpiece of that Kessel trade.
If anything,
for us.
I'm giving up Johnsson or Trevor Moore or a lot of other players before him. I mean, I just think he has such a specific skill set, and he's not like he doesn't have elite hands, or he's not going to be a top line player. But
the Rangers could use a guy like Johnsson.
His speed is legit.
Like the Rangers could use a guy like Johnsson. It's not like we're just throwing away Johnsson to them.
They could use a bunch of the players that the Leafs have. But I mean, outside of that, I mean, I'm trying to think of winger prospects that they'd be interested in.
Like, they probably want someone close. Like, the Rangers right now, we just talked about it, they're close to being a playoff team. So they don't want guys that are going to take forever to develop. They need some more permanent, ready solution. So, like, I think Johnsson makes the most sense because you can plug him in the top six and he can be on your left wing right there. And the thing about Georgiev, people, he's not a UFA. He's an RFA. So the Leafs would then have him for the next season. And if you're smart, and if the Leafs are smart, if he's good enough, he could potentially be a 1B starter. Like, he can give...
Anderson wouldn't have to start 60 games a year.
No, he would not. So you're paying for a guy that can maybe make 35 starts.
Maybe 25.
Jace is like, yeah, just shim it down a little bit.
I mean, Dreger also tweeted, I think it was like out, right after the game ended, that the Leafs were one of the teams that is inquired to the Rangers about Gorgiev. I mean, it just looks like a perfect, like it looks
it's
like
a no-brainer. It's just like the Leafs need a goalie, the Rangers need to get rid of a goalie. Like, okay, like let's, Kyle, like that should be, I think people are like, oh, they need a defense, they need a defenseman. You get in a better goaltender that can give Freddie a little bit of breathing room. Just get the goaltender, give Freddie some rest. Because, look, I'm looking at the Bruins. The Bruins' defense is not phenomenal, but their 1-2 punch between Halak and Rask is giving them a shot. Like, let's be real here. At least you need two goalies. At least two adequate goalies that can help you ride through a season. And Freddie has been average lately. He hasn't been really good. Like, tonight he was fine. That game wasn't on. Like, he in a 1-1 game, he was good enough, especially in overtime. Hutchinson might have had a good start against the Islanders, but that's been the only good start in his Leafs tenure. So, it's a business, guy. Like, maybe the guys on the team like Hutchinson, but they also want to win.
They don't. He's fucking shit. I don't give a fuck if his wife brings in cookies every fucking day. Like, if you stink, get the hell out.
Well, we will find out.
I would know. I've played with some shitty goalies. Nothing is worse than when you can't get a save.
Yeah, well, we still have time. I don't think the Rangers are in a rush. Like, they're not in a rush to move Georgiev.
Don't think they're waiting. I mean, if they can get something that can help them right now, why not? You have a goalie that's just sitting there. You're not going to play him.
The thing I want to know is, like, Kyle, if I'm Kyle Dubas, he likes to get ahead. He did it last year with Muzzin. What would he be waiting for? There's no other team that's giving up a goalie cheap. I understand that you don't like to pay a king's ransom. It's not going to be a king's ransom if you pony up at least. And look, if you get rid of Johnsson, that does free up a little bit of money because Georgiev is still on an entry-level deal. It opens up a little bit of cap space too because Johnsson, I think, is at, 3.25? Around those lines, like, you're freeing up, you're doing two things in one trade to get Georgiev as well. And maybe if you see someone else on the Rangers you want, he's at 3.4. So, like, if you see something else on the Rangers, you try to make a bigger deal. I don't know. I just think that there's infinite possibilities there for the Leafs. I don't want them to wait too long because if they do, another team's going to jump in. And there's teams that I think, like, if you're Nashville, why wouldn't you try to get a goalie? If you're, San Jose, I don't think they're going to give up anything decent right now. But I think Nashville could go after a guy like Georgiev as well. So Carolina's also been in talks for a goalie. Colorado could go and get him. Like, there's teams that will go and get him. I think the Leafs need to be a little more proactive than just fielding interest. They need to actually have an offer. Moving on, we've had a crazy couple days. We already brought up the Gerard Gallant. That was a big thing in the morning. Let's talk about something that captured a lot of attention on the this past weekend, which was the Battle of Alberta, specifically Tkachuk and Cassian. I find this thing so phenomenal because it reminds me a little bit more of the old NHL with guys really hating each other. Like, I don't think I've seen a guy venomously hate someone like Cassian does with Tkachuk. Do you guys agree with that, or what are your thoughts on what happened in that game and what's been going on afterwards?
I don't know. It's all a bit of a joke. Like, I mean, Cassian, like, the guy's, like, plays on the edge. I mean, I don't think he's the cleanest player, but
no, he's definitely not.
I mean, some of those hits, I would definitely be pissed off if I got hit three times by someone. But, like, he's under no obligation to fight you. Yep. Like, that's what I don't understand with these shit players. It's like, he's good, you are not. He's under no obligation to fight you. He did what he wanted to do, which is draw you into a penalty, and you lost your team the game, and he's done that twice now when they've played them. It works. I mean, yeah. I'd look at Cassian in the face, and I'd call him a toothless fuck, because he'd probably just try and punch me and take a four-minute penalty, because he's an idiot, and he will lose games for your team. But, I mean, that's just me. I would love it. I mean, I think the best part for Calgary is keep chirping him. Keep doing it. Keep doing chippy shit. He will lose his team games because he's done it twice. And I don't know why. The thing that annoys me is they're like, oh, there's a code. You're supposed to do it. It's like, fucking hit him then.
Yeah.
Like, there's no code. Like,
hit him back.
Just because somebody hits you doesn't mean they have to, like, they don't have to atone for it. Like, hit them back. You're legally allowed to hit them.
The best part about all this, and Austin, I want your take on this as well, is that he mentions the fact that Tkachuk told him the last time, you're a fourth liner, you're not worth it. And he's like, well, now I have 13 goals. I know, Austin, you've brought this up numerous times.
He could play with no stick and he'd have fucking 10.
There's a reason he has 13 goals. And there is a reason Tkachuk targets him, Austin. Does Zach Cassian need a little dose of reality? Games. Yeah. Did we lose Austin?
No.
Oh.
Jake's not wrong at all. I'm letting it breathe.
You're just letting it breathe? Go ahead.
Let's put it this way. No disrespect to Zach Cassian, but the criteria for playing with Connor McDavid is put your fucking stick on the ice. That's it.
It's not even that. It's literally just to be a body that can breathe.
Stand at the back post, let McDavid walk through the whole team, and then you get a fat paycheck out of it at the end of your contract. It happened with Alex Chiasson. He got 20 tucks last year. Guy was basically in the AHL the season before that. 20 tucks, and he got an extension. Just for being on McDavid's wing. Patrick Maroon, I mean, he's a better player, but same thing. He had a shit ton of goals for just existing in the same realm as 97 when he was with the Oilers. You have 13 tucks. Congratulations. Your career high in points is 29. And the only reason you're passing it this year is because 97's setting you up.
I mean, that's another thing that they got to be so careful with that. Like, you have to basically have an understanding with players, like, you are going to get this. I do not care about your inflated numbers because to me, it's meaningless. We could put anybody there and they would score because they would. They could put anybody there and they'd score goals. And there's no, you should never pay above what the price is for him. He's probably a $2.5 million player that will get $4 million. I will guarantee that. $3.5 to $4 million, maybe even more.
He'll get like under Tom Wilson money because they'll think he's a discount Tom Wilson.
Which would be idiotic.
Yeah. What does Tom Wilson make? Like 5'2", something like that?
I thought it was, yeah, that sounds about right.
For a guy that is as physical as he is and has thrown as many hits, questionable or not, Matthew Tkachuk said it perfectly. Trains on the track, Zach. How about you stop looking down at the puck if you don't want to get your ass run over twice?
Yeah, he put the himself thing is, in a vulnerable situation, too. He would do the same too.
Shit. Like, exactly. He's just like
you think he's holding up?
The only thing I actually appreciate is you know, he didn't go on one of these pussy rants like Matthew Perreault and stuff like that, where he's
I'm
just like,
take
where he's,
head off the
yeah, like, get the hell out of here. That's a joke. Like, he's like, I don't care. Like, I'll play chippy. Oh. But
if you break a stick over a guy's head like Maurice Richard, then you're allowed to get filled by the biggest guy on the other team. Because that's a chicken shit move.
I mean, so many weird things.
Cassian just trains on the track. I'm not talking about whether the hit was questionable. I don't want to get into that. If Cassian is in the same position Tkachuk is, and Kachuk's coming out of the corner, staring directly down at the puck, what do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to worry about the code? No, he's got an opponent who's up playing for a rival team as a top six player. He's not holding up. He's taking his ass out. And he's paying the consequences after because you've done it before. Whatever, you're going to get two games? He got two games anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand why people are getting mad at, like, oh, he turtled. Well, I'm not exactly going to go toe-to-toe with Zach Cassian either.
No, like, I'm also not going to get suckered in the face by him.
Yeah, like you got to defend
what type of player like, Chuck is.
Yeah, that's his game. Like, you were silly for getting caught up into it. I don't know why guys don't just, like, laugh in his face. I'd be like, get the hell out of here, you little frizzy-haired bastard.
Also, I like the people who are saying, is this, which is better, this rivalry with Cassian or the one with Doughty? I said, look.
Oh, the one with Doughty's great. Because Doughty, like,
is a good player.
On his level, skill-wise.
Yeah, he's a good player that's being
rattled. So many more chirps that cut way deeper than, I mean, what the fuck's Cassian going to say? Like, I could beat you up in a fight?
Doughty's one of the best talkers in the game. You remember his rant from the outdoor game? When he said, you've barely been in the NHL forever, enjoy your time back in the A? That was Patrick Maroon. Who McDavid made a career out of.
Yeah, I don't get...
It's the same situation.
I don't get... you know what it is? It's also certain people who are more respective of the old, oh, this is the new game now. I'm just like, look, Cassian, I wouldn't
spare
care.
Spare me with the code. If Kachuk doesn't want to go home, he's not going to go home. And then for people that are saying that Cassian's just going to take somebody else out, fine, take another suspension. Take another penalty. Lose your team another game. What does it matter to the Flames?
Like, was Cassian a problem for the Leafs tonight? Like, no, not one bit. What are, like, Austin Matthews had the best response to him. It's like,
we know what he's about.
I know what he's about. I played with him. Like, I know what his game is like. If other teams haven't figured this out by now, that's more of a problem for other teams than it is for Kachuk. And he's never going to change, and he has no reason to change unless he does something that goes against the NHL rules. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait till Ottawa gets better, because from everything everyone said leading up to that draft, apparently Brady's a bigger dick than Matthew is. He's just playing for a team that doesn't win a lot.
Brady has had some moments too this year.
I don't know. I don't see that. I've actually had more of an issue with him offensively. He always seems to score against the Leafs.
Brady?
Yeah. He's had a couple goals against them, but yeah, I don't know. I don't see that at all. Right. I know they said that when he was drafted, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing something.
Well, let's now go to the juice.
We have. Are you hearing David?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm hearing you. Can you hear me?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Dave, we are not hearing you currently. So now I am the host of the show.
I got you. I got you.
Podcast. Hey.
Apparently.
Thank God I don't have to do that anymore.
You know, I got you. Let's move on to the juiciest and the best. I wanted you two to go off a little bit, so I muted my mic, but then I had to find the button. Let's go to the juiciest story. We're going to step away from hockey for a second, ladies and gentlemen, because the Houston Astros, the team that every baseball team should model after, every MLB team should model after, has become the biggest joke.
Into the complete opposite, the team nobody should follow. Yeah.
I think that's a more polite way of putting it, Jake. Basically, everything that you thought the Astros were doing right wasn't really actually right.
Yep.
This has probably been the most bizarre thing. Story.
In our lifetime, easily.
Yeah. I think some people are trying to brush this off a little bit. Two things here. One, for the people who think that journalism still doesn't hold true in today's game, The Athletic, like what Ken Rosenthal, and I should have known the other guy's name, the guy from Houston that's uncovered all this too. The work they have done to make this all a bigger thing than it probably would have been.
Jeff Passan too has done a great job.
Jeff Passan too has done a great job as well. If it weren't for these guys, a team like the Astros would have just had this thing swept under the rug by MLB. But because You have credible journalists who have taken the proper steps to getting the right sources and doing this all right, have now exposed the team that everybody thought was, you know, the perennial contenders in baseball, and have now made them nothing. Like, people, nobody, I feel a little bit bad for Astros fans in that they have to deal with this, but I don't feel bad for those that are trying to defend the team. But if you're a fan like that doesn't support this and are continually having to hear about this, you're also getting a bit of your own medicine back, because everybody thought the Astros were untouchable.
This is, just so I'm clear, this is the biggest scandal in the history of baseball, right? Like, this is bigger than the Black Sox.
Well, it's more prevalent because of
not. Didn't they bet against themselves or something?
They lost intentionally to drop the World Series.
I think
so. It's not that bad. It's pretty close, though.
Yeah, as it was coming out, I was like, wait, that sounds terrible. What? It's bigger than the steroid scandal, I would say.
Oh, yeah, easily. It's gotten worse and worse. I mean, I saw like a great, great tweet by Trevor Bauer, the ex-Indians pitcher, now Cincinnati Reds pitcher. He said he was talking with, I think, Alex Wood, and they were saying how, I'd rather face someone who is doing steroids than someone who knows what I'm going to throw. And it's true. Like, think about how much easier the game is when you know what it is.
Yeah.
Like it just gets worse and worse and worse, because they have come out with, you know, things today. Guys who do great work for it is like John Boy Media, the guy that does the YouTube videos, a big Yankee fan. He's the one that had the accusations about the wires, and they had things taped to their shoulders and stuff. And then you have apparently a burner account that's pretending to be Carlos Beltran's niece, who's surprisingly gotten like 6 stories right in a row. I mean, have you seen some of the splits? The home and away splits between these things?
For Altuve's is ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Altuve's
were unbelievable.
No, Altuve's was ridiculous. His OPS is like 1.55 at home, and on the road was like .500 or something. Like,
I think it was below that. I'm gonna get the exact tweet, because I thought that is you're just like, okay, oh, here it is, because it's not just Altuve. So the home OPS for Altuve, Correa, Gattis, Bregman. So Altuve 1.541, Correa 1.16, Gattis, who's not even that great of a player, 1.014, Bregman 0.857. On the road, away, Altuve 0.497, Correa 0.626, Gattis 0.533, Bregman 508. Do not, like, that, like, there's coincidences, but that is just ridiculous. That should tell you a good picture right there. That I understand that guys are comfortable hitting in their ballpark and all, you know, because it's a closed, I think that one's a closed stadium, so there's that in fact. But that's a little too obvious.
No, I mean,
when you put everything together,
it's ridiculous.
So I will. This is just, this thing has really, I'm looking at this and like, it keeps coming. It just keeps on coming. And for MLB, like, they thought, all right, we suspend, like, we get rid of Hinch and Luna. Like, they've been kind of tossed aside, so that will kind of throw water on it. And it just, it's exploded, because people are just like, and the players are going to get nothing. The guys who have actively participated got nothing. Now, I've heard about the whole MLBPA and how, you know, the union will really fight this, but I don't know how hard the MLBPA can fight what's been going on right now. I can't see how they can argue that these players are not worthy of any discipline.
I think another thing is, like, for ownership, it would be pretty, I mean,
that's going to hurt your bottom line.
No, not even that. Like, the fact that they are being paid contracts based on it's basically equivalent to paying a guy that was on steroids, and then you get him when he was off. Like, I still think Altuve is a fantastic hitter. Is he a guy that can hit, you know, 350? Maybe not. I mean, maybe if you get a better look, if you know his home splits versus road splits. But, I mean, this guy's getting paid like $30 million a year, pretty much. So, I mean, yeah, that's another thing that people aren't bringing up is the owners. I'd be pretty mad if you got – if you signed a bunch of guys who are getting overinflated contracts from what they actually are. It's, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow.
I'm going to look this up right now because I think you've brought up a good point about the road and home splits. Because I want to know – people are I mean, Jake Austin. I think you brought up that video of Altuve going to the plate and telling the guys, "Don't pull on my shirt."
Now, yeah, there's video that's come out now of Altuve. Would it have been the World Series year?
Yeah,
when they won.
I think he would have had a walk off
because it's a couple of years ago now.
He probably would
the
have
the one had... where he didn't want the shirt ripped off.
Yeah.
And what was it? The ALCS walk-off?
That was game six when he hit the homer off of Chapman.
Chapman, right. Yeah, and he comes to home, and they now it's become fashion in the MLB to rip the guy's shirt off and douse him with stuff. And he told the guys not to rip his shirt off. Then there's directly after that clip, there's another clip that's come out of him going into the dugout, down into the little player tunnel area, swapping out his jersey for a shirt, and then coming back out to do his interview. So that looks pretty damning at this point.
So I'm just looking at his home and road splits. They're not.
They're not too. They're pretty close.
So I think it could have just been that play, like in that time, because it's really hard to get.
The playoffs. You're against the best pitchers. You're against the best teams. It's a little like the best players are usually the best postseason hitters. You're not getting like just from a Jays, for instance. Like, remember when they had Chris Colabella, who was hitting 330? Then in the playoffs, he couldn't fucking hit a thing. Yeah. I mean, the playoffs pretty much humbles you. So the best players show out and are the ones that usually hit the best for teams that move the furthest in playoffs and win championships. So, I mean, if you're being given an advantage like that, against the best pitching staffs, the best relief pitchers in the league. It's a thing. It's definitely like look at the pitching staffs they had to go against. You know, the Yankees, that Yankees bullpen, the Indians and their bullpen.
The Dodgers were so pretty.
The Dodgers and their bullpen. I mean, even if you're just getting home splits, like if I recall, didn't when they played the Dodgers, the home team won every single game. I'm pretty sure.
I will.
Which is kind of ironic because the road team won every single game in this World Series.
I will bring this up. 2017 World Series. Dodgers won. The Astros won game two in LA. Then they went on to win game three at home, lost game four. So maybe they try to not make it as obvious, but game five, that was 13-12. And then game six, they lost.
Yeah, that series had some unbelievable games.
So it wasn't, I think it was game five, Jake, because game six was in LA, and then game six and seven were in LA, and Dodgers would end up losing in game seven. But still, like, we're not just talking about the World Series. We're talking about everything before that too, because the Yankees, like the the Astros, that was actually a little more damning because they won every game in Houston against the Yankees. Like this isn't just one round, people. This is multiple rounds. First off, the banging of the trash can. I'm actually surprised nobody on the Yankees realized that. Like, wasn't that obvious?
I love the fact that AJ Hinch tries to plead innocence on that, by the way.
Yeah. I tried to destroy the monitors. You know how you stop something? You don't get rid of the monitors. You tell someone. Oh, and he probably would have known. I didn't want to be a snitch. Look,
fuck that.
I hate that idea. Yeah, snitch.
Like, that was what Jessica Mendoza said about
Fears.
Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, no shit. What? Like, you're on the team. Clearly, you're not going to say something to rat out your own team. But once you're out, fuck that.
Yeah.
And I think it was,
if you're the guy that doesn't speak up, then you're the guy that's guilty along with the rest of the group.
Yeah, basically, you're guilty by association.
Yeah, you've hid the truth from people, and when it gets out, you're going to be in shit. He was still part of the group that cheated, but he got out ahead of it.
And then they're like, oh, you know, this should have gone through the team. Well, clearly, there was no
guy. No way! That is the exact opposite of what you do when you whistleblow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
good. Go to the Astros and tell them you're about to snitch them out and get half their staff fired and a bunch of other personnel.
I mean, that's what they did at Penn State. Like, they literally went to them. It's like, no, you're supposed to take it out of their hands.
This is what the media is for. If you have a story and it checks out, and I understand this whole idea of, you know, outrage and things like that, but when it's credible and when it's done right, it can have an impact. We've seen it, not even in sports. We've seen it in other situations where if you, like the Donald Trump stuff, I don't like bringing politics into this, but imagine if the media just gave up with their jobs based on how he's been treating them. You can't.
No, I mean, exactly. That would be awful. Like, if you're in a situation where people aren't being held accountable, like, what's the point?
Yeah, like, without... Like if and you have to give him, Fires credit. He decided, okay, I'm gonna be the one to say something. And look, if another MLB team doesn't sign him, I don't know if he's done playing, or if he has a contract.
The other thing is, I actually appreciate this because he started a thing where once you get the ball rolling and the one person calls it out, it's a lot easier for people to back you up. And that's what's been happening. I mean, I've been loving what I've seen from guys like Tommy Pham, Trevor Bauer, Alex Wood, like even Marcus Stroman and guys like that who are like, yeah, they're starting to see like coincidences and, you know, thinking to themselves like, wow, like this was legitimately happening. And it's good. I mean, you have to call out this type of shit. I mean, it's people are just like, oh, well, I mean, it's not that big a deal. Like I've heard a bunch of people take, it's just like, you got to do anything to get an edge. Like, yeah, like if you are manually stealing signs with a man on second, so be it. But by using like electronics and iPads and cameras and buzzers, like that's ridiculous.
That's all on MLB for allowing it to be used for that. You made it possible.
Let's be honest. The Houston Astros kind of threw... They were like a sweetheart sort of story when they won the World Series over the Dodgers a couple of years ago.
They're probably the most hated team in sports right now.
They were one of the most hated teams in the MLB the second they picked up Roberto Osuna at the trade deadline a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They were.
That's when they started to really, you know, go against them. And now it looks like they've gone completely heel mode.
At that point, that's when I said integrity goes out the window when a championship's on the line. I remember saying that on the podcast. And I mean, it's not this profound statement, but it's ring true.
It definitely is. With that being said, gentlemen, I think that's a pretty decent way to end everything. Thank you all for listening. And Austin, you better go get some sleep because I know you have an early morning.
We're pulling the all-nighter now, boys. You got me woken right up.
Well, we are going to call it quits for the night, and we want to thank...
Did I say woken? That's not a word.
No, definitely not. See, cool. You need to go to bed.
English good, guys.
You're actually sleeping right now, Austin. You're not awake. So we want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe if you have any comments. Please let us know, and we'll catch you next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.